This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We continue to broadcast from Jupiter and Cardinals Spring Training. Very happy to be joined right now by Tamar Sherry. You, of course, see her on First Alert 4, Matrix Midwest as well, their new sports entertainment channel. Tamar, great to see you. How are you?
So great to see you. Now we finally get to be together in person. Typically, it's me calling in on the phone, so I love that we can do this in person on a beautiful, sunny Jupiter day.
It is a beautiful day. Now, you've been here for about a week or so. You've talked with a lot of players. What's jumped out at you about kind of what you've seen and what you've heard so far at camp?
I think the first thing on everyone's mind is Nolan Arenado being the Cardinals' third baseman this year. I was able to talk to him one-on-one after he addressed the full media squad about, you know, his intentions and wanting to be here and what happened with the trade talks. And right now he's in the mindset of he wants to move forward. And everything around that has been extremely positive this week. I've been here just while full squad workouts were going on, and I see him talking to Thomas DeJacy, talking to Ozzie Smith. So you got a guy who's a Hall of Famer and a young up-and-comer, and he wants to work on like how he adjusts his swing. He really is focused on the things that he wants to do to make himself a better player, and I find that very not interesting, because I think that's just who he is at his core. Not only is he a professional, but he wants to make the team better, he wants to make himself better, and his aura has not changed because of what's been happening this offseason, what might continue to happen as the season rolls on.
It feels like the outside narrative has said this is going to be really awkward, but then you talk to people, to me, no awkwardness at all. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I even talked to Wilson Contreras. He's the other guy at the corner. He's going to be the first baseman for the Cardinals. A World Series catcher at that position is going to be something that I think Cardinals fans will find some joy in seeing the results and what he's put in this offseason, what he's done with his body. But a guy like Contreras said to me, you know, Nolan makes us better. Everyone looks up to him, including myself, he said. And I think that's so telling right there, is the way that this team has embraced him being here and taking it day by day and just understanding that it is baseball, anything can happen. But at the same time, he is on this roster. He is set to be the Cardinals' third baseman this season for the time being, and they're embracing what they have, and they know they have a 10-time gold glover in their midst, and I think everyone's taking advantage of that.
How much better do you think the team can be this year as a result of Nolan being around?
I think it's interesting because there's going to be a lot of internal competition that I think will ultimately make people better, because you look at different positions that might have to adjust because he is returning. You look at, you know, out in center field, you got Victor Scott, Michael Ciani, what do you do, Lars Nootbaar? There are a lot of question marks that I think will be answered in spring games and as we lead up to the regular season. So there aren't many answers, but I think that everyone's really eager and hungry. You talk about a guy like Nolan Gorman, and he has been working every single day in the offseason, and now in spring training with Brant Brown, the new hitting coach for the Cardinals. He said he was just 10 minutes apart from him in Arizona, and it's a guy like him who wants to have a breakout season, understands that he did not meet his expectations last year, and knows that he wants to be better. He wants to make the team better, and he is putting in the work to do that. And that's the overall collective mindset I have felt now being here for a week.
Yeah, I've said this over and over. If Gorman, Walker, and Arenado all take steps forward, then offensively, it seems to score so many more runs than last year. A lot is around from last year. To me, that's the kind of the pathway towards us being an okay team this year.
Yeah, and all three of those guys you just mentioned have told me individually, I know there is work to be done. That is why I put in the work in the offseason. That is why, you know, a Jordan Walker gets so enthusiastic when talking about the adjustments he's made to his swing with Brant Brown. You see him in the outfield working this spring training and doing everything he can to get his body right for the long term, for the season. And I think that's what's so fascinating, is the fact that these guys are super eager to make those adjustments and make themselves better to have a long, you know, season. I know it is a long season, but I think these guys are poised and prime to have at least the mindset of the buy-in mindset for where this organization is trying to head.
The makeup of the roster has turned into be kind of interesting, in the sense that you do have the Contreras's and the Grays and folks like that who decided that they wanted to be around Arenado. But there's also a lot of young players who are the topic about giving those players runway. That didn't stop just because Nolan Arenado is back. There's still that chance for those young guys to go out and succeed or fail on an everyday basis.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about spring training, manager Ollie Marmol told all of us, he said, I want these guys to be aggressive when they're making adjustments now, and he wants them to make mistakes aggressively, because this is the time to do it. This is the time to see what their runway is, and that's what this young core can do here at spring training, here for the next month leading up to the season, is figure out where they can push the bounds, not be timid in these moments, because he wants to be able to see what happens. You even talk about competition and who's going to be behind the plate. You don't have Wilkson Contreras back there, so it's Ivan Herrera and Pedro Páez, them proving themselves working together. Of course, they have that brilliant mind in Wilson Contreras. Now he's just a little ways away at first base, but you can see that there's some hunger and eagerness here, and it's going to be about how they not only stay competitive, but they understand what their runway is and take advantage of opportunity that presents itself.
Was there someone that you maybe you did a one-on-one interview that you didn't know so well before doing it that really jumped out at you, really enjoyed the conversation? You're kind of invested now in what they're going to do here moving forward.
You know, a guy like Michael Ciani, I got to be honest, what he did last year and how he impressed people out in center, I think he is the guy that you look at, him, Victor Scott, and just the way they go about their business and the positivity that they have, I think is really something to look at this season. And I think they are embracing what they have, this young core. They're buying in, and I think Michael was someone who I was like, okay, you are a personality I think people are really gonna want to get to know this season.
He had that, you know, 6-week offensive stretch. If that's who he is, and he really didn't do that in the minor leagues, that's his best really stretch of, you know, from a hitting standpoint in his career. But if he can be that guy who he was just before the injury, that makes things that much better for this team.
Certainly, and that's the same mindset a guy like Victor Scott has as well. So there's again, I think that spring is going to really reveal a lot, because this is the time that people are going to start to see what work has been done in the offseason, and you're going to really start to understand the depth that this roster has. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that if he does continue to show that he kind of plays loose, I think without the pressure per se, because they are going into this quote-unquote transition period, not to say these guys don't want to win, because a guy like Wilson Contreras literally told me yesterday he wants this team to own the division. He's a winner. He will stay a winner no matter what this period is called. So I think if you look at just the young core and their buy-in, but also the fact that they feel that they can maybe play a little lighter without as high of expectations, knowing where this team is going this season, and it's more of a long-term than a short-term goal, that's some things that we can start to see some really some breakouts from some players.
Talking with Tamar Sheriff from First Alert 4. Okay, so you guys have the Matrix Midwest channel, which you guys are doing some blues games now. You've been in partnership with Missouri. You've got a local sports show in the morning. Maybe people aren't completely aware of what's going on. Talk a little bit about the channel, what people can expect out of it.
Well, right now we have an awesome new show called The Fight with Carriker and Company. So you got Randy Carriker on there. It's a full-on radio show on TV with a lot of visual elements. I was just on there this morning, actually, and it was fun to be able to have a platform like that where it's long-form sports, and that's the vision for Matrix Midwest. We'll have blues games on there as well, so you got your live game action, you have your long-form sports, and we do some of that on 4, but I think Matrix really gives us the platform to be able to do a lot more. So if we have those long-form interviews, we have these great pieces of content for St. Louis sports viewers. This could be the place that you go to and you get more in-depth coverage on a TV medium that is unlike any other. And The Fight is just one of many things that is happening over there, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Tamar, great to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Matt.
That's Tamar Sheriff. We'll take a break. Have more in a moment from Jupiter. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We continue to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals spring training. And we're happy to welcome on our good friend Joe Roderick, who's down here in Jupiter as well. Joe, always good to see you.
Thank you, man. It's great seeing you too, and great to be in this weather this week of all weeks.
I can now say Joe Roderick of Sports Hub STL. More on that coming up in just a moment or so. But Joe, interesting spring training for the Cardinals. The overwhelming narrative going in, or the biggest storyline coming in, was Nolan Arenado. Where was he going to be playing for? Well, turns out he's still going to be a Cardinal.
And that has made this spring training more intriguing from our standpoint. You know, for makes our jobs a lot more fun, because it gives us an awful lot to talk about, gives us a lot to speculate, to kind of guess as to what opening day is going to look like. And you also get that sense, too. I don't know if you get it, but I still get that sense that at any moment he could still get traded. And I think more than ever before, we're watching other camps too. You're watching what's going on around the rest of baseball, and any little injury, any little drama at any camp, maybe like in the Red Sox camp, you're looking at that and you're going, can that affect anything here? Like in any injury now that you see, like the Giancarlo Stanton hasn't swung a bat in what, 3 to 4 weeks, I think he said. You're like, okay, would the Yankees want Nolan's bat to replace that? And how would that, like, so not only are you looking at what opening day looks like for the Cardinals, you are paying, I think we're paying more attention to the rest of the other 29 camps than ever before.
It's kind of funny because the team didn't do anything in the offseason. It didn't seem like they were going to be overly interesting. Yet we get here, and they've kind of turned into an interesting group.
An interesting group, I think. A fun group, because there's so much unexpected. You look around and you look at the names and you look at who's on this team. You could look at, you go 50 yards over that way to Marlins camp, and I don't know if you and I can name 8 players in that camp right now. I know I can't. But you look at this and it's like, okay, these are names that we've been familiar with for the last 5 years. These are names that we know, whether they were first round draft picks or guys that we have looked at through their, when they've come up through the minor leagues and paid attention to them. And it's like, okay, to us, these aren't no names. These are guys that we've expected a lot of, and we have, we've wanted to see them have this big jumping off point, go from prospects to starters, and now they're getting that chance. And for a lot of them too, it's kind of, okay, is this their big test? This is their big chance. Nolan Gorman, for example, he was a starter last year. He's been a starter the last couple years, but that strikeout rate is so high. And all winter we were sitting there thinking, hey, that third base job says he's going to move back to where he was drafted, where he was a first round draft pick. He's going to be the starting third baseman for the Cardinals, and he is going to get every opportunity handed to him. Well, nope, not the case right now. As we sit here at mid February, right now he's still your second baseman, still a DH, and he's going to maybe rotate that job with a few other people. He might not get as many at bats as he probably thought at this moment, but again, if he produces, if he becomes that 30 home run hitter that you think he's going to be, that'll be a lot of fun to watch. We've had 2 years of Jordan Walker now where he has gotten sent back down. He's he's been back and forth between here and Memphis. If he can become that guy that we saw in the minors, again, that's a real exciting player. And if those things come together, add to that the experience of a Nolan Arenado, this could be a really fun team to watch this year.
I think there's two groups of fans out there. There's fans who are all in on the idea of a reset, rebuild, whatever it might be, focus in on the future, give guys the opportunity. And then there's other people who aren't really in on that, and they want to see the team win as much as possible. When Arenado sticks around, it starts to go a little bit more towards that direction. Not that they're, Gorman's still going to get his at-bats. Walker's still going to get his at-bats. There's still going to be decisions that are made that are going to impact 2026 and beyond. But winning this year all of a sudden becomes more of a thing when you have a Nolan Arenado on your team.
It's just the fans that want the full reset, what do you want that to look like is my big question. Do you want them to go? Who do you really want to go out there and have a team in St. Louis that loses 120 games? I mean, do you want to be the Chicago White Sox? Because right now their reset, their big offseason acquisition was Joey Gallo. Do you want that to be, or do you want the veterans in your clubhouse to be Wilson Contreras and Nolan Arenado while you're also surrounded by all of these guys that are, you know, 25 years old? You look at the roster of how old, you know, some of these players are, and there are a lot of young guys on here. There's not a whole lot that have 4 years of major league experience right now. That's a young team. So you have to fill the roster with veterans. You can't have an entire roster of 25-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You can't. So if you're going to have veterans, would you not want them to be guys that can be middle of your lineup and be guys who are successful and not just and weren't just flashing the pans that hit a baseball real far every now and then?
There is a cost to it, though. I mean, Thomas Ajayi might not make the team. You'd really like to know what you have in Thomas Ajayi. And look, injuries are going to happen. Opportunities are going to happen. We talk about all this stuff in February and March, and it always works itself out because that's how baseball is. Baseball works itself out. But on paper, based off health, a Ajayi might not make a team. A Lars Nootbaar might be forced to center field, which impacts your ability to maybe give Victor Scott that opportunity if he looks like he's got come to that point at the end of spring, things like that. So nothing's perfect, but nothing in this world is perfect, seemingly.
No, and even if you know, we could play all the scenarios if Arenado was traded, I still think that would have caused that same logjam in center field. Because even if you look at that, even if you look at Gorman the third, Donovan the second, Lars in left, it still does cause that issue in center where it's Siani and Scott and you're trying to figure out who gets that spot. So, yeah, having one multi-time All-Star future Hall of Famer on your roster, it's going to cause problems for some of the young kids. But I still think that's a good problem to have. And in the end, I still think, you know, those guys are going to go down to Memphis. They're going to get their reps. And, yeah, exactly the way you put it, things seem to work themselves out. Things always seem to happen for a reason when it comes to baseball. And when you need that roster spot, something always seems to open up right when you need it, right?
Yeah. 100%. Look, we'll see what happens with Michael McGreevy. Even looking down the line a little bit, J.J. Weatherholt's going to be this team's second baseman. So if Nolan Gorman goes out and has a 30-plus home run season and Arenado really performs well and you want to keep him around, like those are all issues for the future, but those are probably more so for the future.
Yeah, and Weatherholt, again, he was the 7th overall pick, and there is a lot of hype around him, I think more so because the Cardinals hadn't picked that high in a generation for fans. So you see the highlights, and you talk to the kid, too, and he seems to have his head on straight, and he seems to understand what his role is going to be here for that. But there when you look around baseball, Paul Skenes is a very rare type of player to where he is just going to come in here, you know, 8 months after he's drafted and be ready to go. So these guys do need to work their way up. And I would love to see Weatherholt go to Springfield and hit 350 and be forced to go to Memphis in, you know, by June. That'd be great. And then we can start talking about the hype of that if he continues to hit there. But I do think people need to pump the brakes and realize that, you know, these prospects aren't going to just run through the system, especially hitters too. They're not going to, you know, they're going to be seeing stuff even in Springfield and Memphis that they never saw in college.
Mentioned the fact you're part of a new venture. A lot of folks that people are familiar with in the St. Louis area, part of it. Sports Hub STL, a lot of written content, video content, audio content. But for sports fans in St. Louis, just another chance to be able to hear, talk, and read words about your favorite teams.
It is the first all-digital network here in St. Louis. A few other markets have done this to great success. And the ability of what it's going to allow us to do as far as sports coverage in this town is something that is really, really exciting to me, because being in radio for 11, 12 years and then running Klabes Online for the last 4 to 5 years, I've seen what we are all capable of, and you see the digital side of things with Gas House Gang and what you guys are able to do every day. I think it's going to allow us to present coverage to fans that they want and that they're really going to enjoy. And as you mentioned, some of the names that we have, some of the veterans in sports, St. Louis sports, it is one heck of a cast that we have. And I think that the really fun thing is some of these young people that we are talking to, and some of these young people that you're going to hear the names of. You're going to hear their names for years to come, and you're gonna look back and you're gonna say, oh yeah, they were on Sports Hub STL first, and you know, 10, 20 years from now, when they're making a ton of money on national TV.
Joe, it's always good to see you. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Joe Roderick. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. It's from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinal Spring Training. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. From Jupiter, Florida, welcome back in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Cardinals Spring Training, wrapping up another week's worth of spring training activities. A reminder for you, if you want to listen into Cardinals baseball, you are able to do so over the next couple days right here on KMOX. We will have spring training games for you. It's going to look like this tomorrow. The Cardinals are set to match up against the Nationals. Miles Michaelis is the projected starter for that game. 12:05 Central first pitch. That means John and Ricky have the call beginning at 11:55, and then they'll match up against the Marlins coming up on Sunday afternoon, a 12:10 Central first pitch. That means coverage at 12 o'clock. Let's do a little fun with audio, listen into some of the things that Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol spoke about today. Three topics that we're going to get into here. First off, the catching situation and what Ivan Herrera has done to really just improve who he is as from the throwing part of the game. Also, what they're seeing at first base with Alec Burleson, and also talk a little bit about the battle in center field between Michael Ciani and Victor Scott II, and maybe Lars Nootbaar factors into that discussion as well. But let's start with Ivan Herrera. So during the game today, the Cardinals end up losing to the Astros today by a single run. We did see a throw from Ivan Herrera. Now, the throw did not get the base runner, but as somebody who was sitting there watching it, I thought the throw coming out of Herrera's hand was about as good of a throw as we have seen from him. Now, the throw came up a little bit short up until the moment that it just wasn't going to quite get all the way to the bag. I thought that it had enough on it that it was actually going to get the base runner. So I know you're probably listening to this, and some people are probably kind of shaking their hand saying that I'm trying to, you know, put lipstick on a pig. That's not what I'm doing here. I was legitimately happy with the throw until the very last moment when it didn't work out, but it came out of his hand. It looked different. And that was really the first time that I'd taken note of Ivan Herrera throwing down to second. And we all know that is an area that he absolutely struggled with last season. And he did a lot of work in the offseason. He went to Driveline to do some things. For those of you who don't know what Driveline is, that's kind of a third-party instruction. A lot of times hitters go to that. We've seen Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and guys like that go there. But they do things beyond just hitting. And Herrera went to Driveline to work on some things. So Oliver Marmol talked about all that and acknowledged the fact that Herrera has worked really, really hard to become a better throwing catcher.
Ivan spent a lot of his offseason focused on that. That was the main thing for him. And to his credit, went to Driveline several times, made several trips there to kind of repattern the throwing. And in talking to him even yesterday, there's some pain involved in last year. Like, he was playing through some, like, just didn't feel right, soreness, and he doesn't feel that right now, which is awesome. So in what he's doing from a throwing program standpoint with his plyos in the weight room prior to actually going out here and doing his long toss has allowed him to condition his arm in a way where he's not feeling anything in a good way. So hopefully that means throughout the year there's more carry to it. He's still working on some stuff with his footwork in order to get the ball there quicker. The combination of those things, our hope is that controls the running game better.
So what does it take to be a better throwing catcher? Is it all about arm strength? Is it about the motion that you are throwing with? Is it about the entire body and being able to get your legs into it? Well, really, Marmol said all of the above, that Herrera has worked on his entire body in order to be a better thrower.
I think it's a combination of both. I don't want to say it's just strictly arm, because there's some stuff he's working on lower half wise that will allow him to make that exchange a little quicker. But the arm is the biggest factor. yeah, I don't want to say it's the only, but it's the biggest.
Gotcha. Also, a lot of talk about what kind of coaching he is getting from a team standpoint. A lot was made over the years of the fact that the Cardinals did not have a quote-unquote catching instructor. Well, they now have that. They have the catching coordinator in Ethan Goforth, who was hired this offseason. Jamie Pogue, who's on the big league staff, he is part of his responsibilities is to work with catchers. And Marmol did say that those coaches, they're looking at video, they're working with him and all the catchers on an everyday basis to make these catchers the best version of themselves.
We're in there every day reviewing video and making sure that they're on the right track. I mean, they've been able to change a little bit of his plyo work in order for his arm to hold up over 162. But yeah, there's a lot of conversations that lead to him just doing his work out here.
I wouldn't say so much it is a position battle over at first base, because we can all rightfully assume that Wilson Contreras is essentially going to be the everyday first baseman. But one guy who I think is trying to figure out how he gets as much playing time as possible is Alec Burleson. And this comes off a year where he was pretty good last season. His final month of the season, and in some ways the second half of the season, certainly left something to be desired. But in many ways, considering the injuries to Contreras and some other things that were going on, in many ways, Alec Burleson was the top hitter for the Cardinals last season. And there absolutely was a stretch of time where he was the guy you wanted at the plate in a pressure situation. So how does he get himself into the lineup? You would figure that he's going to play a lot of DH. He's going to DH a lot of times, but there's also this thing playing out where if Michael Ciani is in center field, well, then that pushes Lars Nootbaar to left field, and that pushes Brendan Donovan to second base, and that pushes Nolan Gorman to DH, and all of a sudden, Alec Burleson is not in the lineup. So doing whatever he can to find ways to be in the lineup is probably a pretty darn important thing for Burleson. From a defensive standpoint, we might see him a little bit in the outfield this year, but it feels like they're working him more at first base, and Marmol says that they really like what he is able to do from a defensive perspective at first base.
We feel comfortable with him at first. I think it comes natural to him. His footwork around the bag has actually been good. It's been a positive up to this point. I mean, he works hard at it. He finds it important. And he'll continue to get better at it. But no, he's actually shown well.
All right, and final topic from Oliver Marmol for today. Let's talk a little bit about the center field battle. Feels like Michael Ciani is kind of the incumbent. So far, Victor Scott II has been the most impressive player during spring in that battle. And then Lars Nootbaar has played a little bit of center field, and he might be needed out there if the team is offensively challenged and having a hard time scoring runs. So let's start with Ciani, because he really impressed last year. Obviously, he showed out as a top-level defensive center fielder, and we should not forget that there was that period of time before he suffered that injury somewhat late in the season where offensively he had turned himself into a really good offensive player. Now, we don't really know if that's truly who he is or not. He was never much of an offensive player during his minor league tenure, was not much of an offensive player when he came back from injury, was not much of an offensive player prior to that. Is there a chance that that's who he has turned himself into? Sure. Is there a chance that that was kind of just a great moment for him and he had some luck involved with it, especially if you look at his batting average on balls in play and things like that? It was stuff that was somewhat not totally sustainable. So he's being pushed right now for that job in center field. He's got some advantages. You know the club, and you know Oliver Marmol is very comfortable putting Michael Ciani out in center field. But Marmol today was asked essentially what Ciani needs to continue to do to win that job in center field.
For him to continue to do the little things, he knows what he is as a player. He knows that he needs to be the type of guy that plays elite defense and then does the small things offensively. And I think we're seeing that out of him. So I don't want to ask any more than what we've seen in the past.
Mention Victor Scott II. He has been incredibly impressive. Still a tiny sample size, as we are still relatively early on here in spring training. But when you look at what Victor Scott has done so far, he's 4-for-7. That's a .571 average. He's 2-for-2 in stolen bases. He's run the bases well beyond the stolen bases. He has looked good from a defensive standpoint in the routes that he's taken and the jumps and everything that he's doing. And Marmol said that it is a very good battle going on between Ciani and Scott.
They both have a good understanding of what they need to do leading into the spring, and they're both showing it. Like, that's the point of competition, is making it extremely hard on the organization to make a decision, and that's exactly what will happen if they continue to do what they're doing. Like, Vic has shown really well, man. He's more athletic. He's in his legs. He's driving the baseball. It's effortless. His defensive work, he's working on his first step. He's getting to stuff. His John Jay and him, built a really good routine in the morning.
And then the final thing on this bit of conversation here, when it comes to the center field battle, and this is probably one of the most compelling kind of storylines to follow along with. Because this team, I know they want to win this season, but they've also explicitly stated that they want to give young guys an opportunity and that this is a transition year and all that sort of stuff. And it feels like center field is kind of a microcosm of where the team is at and maybe where they're stuck at, if that would be the right word to use. So in center field, you kind of have three choices. You have Michael Ciani, and you kind of know what you're going to get out of Michael Ciani. He's not going to be a great offensive player, especially if he kind of regresses back to what he has been his entire career outside of that 6 or so week stretch before he got injured this past year. So you're very comfortable with him. He's not going to embarrass you at the plate. He's going to give you professional at bats. He's going to play one heck of a center field. He's the proven, he's the known commodity. Then you have Victor Scott II, who in all likelihood is the center fielder of the future. He is electric. He has shown the ability to do things offensively in the minor leagues and a little bit in the big leagues. He's shown a little bit more power here recently. We know that it is crazy when he gets on the bases what he's able to do. The question is he ready for the big leagues? He won the job out of spring training last year largely because of injuries to people like Dylan Carlson and Tommy Edman. And he just wasn't ready. It wasn't time yet for him to be in the big leagues. Looked better at the end of the season, but he was in over his head. And his progress might have stalled a little bit by them having him in the big leagues to start the season last year. Different guy now, but that's part of the equation. If you put him there, you might be putting him there saying, this is going to be the long-term guy in center field, so let's just give him the job now and see what happens. And then you have Lars Nootbaar, who could end up playing there if the team has a hard time scoring runs. That they make the decision that scoring more runs outweighs anything you lose from a defensive standpoint. So there are scenarios here where it actually doesn't matter. The final determining factor for who starts in center field might not be who put themselves in the best spot to do that. Yeah, if you need offense, Lars Nootbaar might be out there with no and that has no reflection negatively from a standpoint of what, you know, Victor Scott was able to do and also what Michael Ciani were able to do. So if you play it out that way, somebody might not be in center field based off what you have going on in some other things. And Oliver Marmol certainly admitted that today, that there are some situations where some outside forces could impact who ends up being in center field.
I think that's like a really, really good question, and one that I'll continue to answer the same way. There's a bigger conversation to be had organizationally to make sure that we are not only making decisions that impact the short term, but also the long. And as we get closer to breaking camp, those will become easier to decide on.
So that's Oliver Marmol. He spoke earlier today. Certainly some interesting things to get into right there. We are going to take ourselves a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this hour and we'll wrap up this program, this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for one final time. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX as we start to wrap up a week's worth of shows. And we'll be back with you one more week of doing the show from Jupiter, Florida. I'll be with you all week next week. And then we are going to head back to St. Louis at the end of the week. Tom Ackerman and I will trade spots. So Tom will get in coming up next weekend, and I will head back to St. Louis. And then before you know it, it is going to be March 27th, and it's going to be Cardinals opening day. And all things are going to be good because baseball that matters is going to be played. I say this all the time. You've heard me say it. You're around these guys, you're around spring training, you see the way stuff can potentially look, and you get excited about it. I'm understanding and accepting of the fact that maybe this isn't going to be a very good team this year. But I don't know. I just, there's something that's going on here that, again, maybe it's the water, maybe it's the delirium that goes along with not sleeping for most days when there's long days here in Jupiter. But I'm excited about what the Cardinals are going to be this year. I think they can, if they were in a different division, I would be saying different things. But in the NL Central, they've got as much of a shot as anybody, I think. Or at least maybe not as much of a shot, but they have a shot. They have a shot. They have a legitimate shot to do something. And there's just so much belief oozing from that team that you can't help but kind of start believing a little bit as well. Now, if they get off to a slow start, if they put themselves in a hole, then it's a little bit of a different situation. But as it sits right now, man, I'm ready to see this team play some baseball that matters. Before we get out of here, did want to mention St. Louis Blues hockey just for a few minutes. And we should probably be spending a little bit more time, but obviously lots of baseball stuff to be able to get to. But man, they looked good yesterday. Man, did they look good. Like, that's the kind of performance that they had yesterday that makes you believe in them as being a team that can climb the ladder and get themselves back into playoff position. So they've won three in a row for the first time forever. They've won four out of five overall. You know, the playoff picture, they're not buried. They have 62 points with 60 games played. The team holding the final wild card spot right now in the West is the Vancouver Canucks. They have 65 points, so three more points for the Blues with one less game played. They've played 59 games. But I look at the way they play yesterday, and that's the thing that makes me believe. Now, the problem is every single time they have a performance like that, every single time they go on a little bit of a run, every time you start to, it feels like they've got some, you know, some air in their chest, like whatever it might be. That's when they go into kind of a funk. They start losing games, and all of a sudden you're back to being 5 points out of a playoff spot, 7 points out of a playoff spot. So I don't want to get too excited, too high about anything. And they've got a really tough schedule in front, like a really tough schedule in front of them. Between now and March 18th, they are going to play just two home games. They're going to play a home game tomorrow against the Kings, and they're going to play on Sunday, March 16th against Anaheim. Other than that, they have 7 road games. So they're about to play 7 of the next 9 on the road. They're going to have a 3 of 4 when they play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, March 5th through the 8th against Los Angeles, Anaheim, and then Los Angeles again. So really tough schedule. And as much as you want to look at how many points they're back, and they're back, you know, the 3 points, they also have multiple teams to jump over. That adds challenges as well. Not only do you have to catch Vancouver, but you have to jump over Utah. You have to jump over Calgary. Utah is 1 point in front of you with the same amount of games played. Calgary, they're 2 points ahead of you, and they have 2 less games played. So the odds are still, I wouldn't say they're stacked up against the Blues, but the odds are somewhat against them to do what I'm talking about doing, and that's climb into a playoff spot. But yesterday was one of those days where you just see the way they play and you say to yourself, man, if this is the kind of effort, if this is who they can be, if the team's DNA can be what they were yesterday against Washington, then that's when you start believing that they are going to be something. Unfortunately,
They just, that hasn't been their DNA for most of the season. So they are in the spot that they are in right now. All right, back to baseball here for the final minute or so of the program. Cardinals tomorrow are going to match up against the Nationals. Miles Michaelis is going to be on the mound tomorrow. Going to be interesting to see if he can follow up his first start with more pitches that are not middle, more pitches that are maybe outside the zone or just barely touching the zone when he's ahead in the count. That is the key for Michaelis this spring, and if he can do that, maybe that turns into him really being able to turn around his performance from the last couple seasons. I enjoyed listening to him talk about that the other day, where he discussed kind of his mental approach to things, but that's going to be the key for Michaelis if he can keep this up and see what kind of success he can have. Tomorrow's game is going to be a 12:05 first pitch Central Time. John and Ricky will have the broadcast of the game with coverage at 11:55 tomorrow morning. They also are going to play coming up on Sunday when they'll match up against the Marlins. Steven Matz is scheduled to start that game, and we are going to have that broadcast for you as well. Thanks to all my guests. We had tons of guests on the show today, and we appreciate each and every single one of them. Jake Zivin, Corey Miller, Tamar Scher, Joe Roderick, all with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Thanks for making this show a part of your evening. Don't go anywhere. The Gas House Gang with Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas. It's on the way next here on KMOX.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.